although it's very early on in the stage of the investigation, however, the indication is that ISIS, the Islamic State, is behind this attacks in Spain. Now, recently, Professor, in an article, you talked about how the Islamic State has changed the face of terrorism around the globe. Would you like to elaborate?
Sure. We're dealing with different kinds of threats. So Islamic State, of course, is an evolution out of al-Qaeda, but whereas al-Qaeda was very reluctant to recruit people that it couldn't vet, it took a long time vetting people, so it had a difficult entry requirement, trained and indoctrinated people over a long period of time and liked to control their operations. Islamic State is happy to crowdsource complete strangers and get them to act in its name, as well as, of course, bringing people to Iraq and Syria to their physical caliphate whilst it still has it, and then sending them back to their countries of origin to launch attacks. So they're working across a much broader spectrum than was the case with al-Qaeda. Islamic State is much more overtly sectarian in their anti-Shia attacks. We see this particularly not just in Iraq and Syria, but also in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And we're also seeing much less discriminate targeting. Al-Qaeda, of course, was and is brutal and ruthless, but it tended to be relatively more discriminate in its targeting than Islamic State. So we're seeing much more focus on hitting tourists and people out in public places, people who are not known to them, people who have no individual significance, just because there's an opportunity to take out lives. And that's been the pattern of the last few years. We saw it in Paris mm-hmm. with the Bataclan attack and the attack down the boulevards. We see it, and it would seem if this is confirmed in Barcelona, if this is an Islamic State attack. It's the indiscriminate rendering, killing of people for its own sake.
Now, in terms of Spain, although the terrorism is not a new phenomenon in Spain, especially with a separatist Basque terrorist organization, however, in terms of Islamist fundamentalism, there hasn't been an attack since 13 years ago.
That's right.
So what's the change now?
Well, the big question with respect to Spain is why only now? And, of course, it's not as if there haven't been attempts at attacks before. There was a major al-Qaeda-related cell disrupted in 2008, a very complex operation involving, counterintuitively, people from Pakistan and India. But as recently as December last year in Madrid, there was a thwarted truck attack linked to Islamic State. But you're right, 13 years since the awful Madrid train attacks of 2004, we haven't seen any jihadi attacks up until apparently the case with the Barcelona attack. And to some extent, credit must be given to the people of Spain, including Muslim communities who've worked with intelligence agencies to close the gap on cells. But there's also an unknown factor. We can recognize why France, for example, is so vulnerable. Partly that's a product of 2,000 recruits going out of France, some of them coming back to work with Islamic State. What's not been so clear is why its neighbours, Italy and Spain, haven't been hit. We do know that there have been 200 arrests at least in Spain over the last 4 years. So it's not as if there's been no activity. But the worry at the moment is that this relative period of peace, certainly peace from jihadi attacks, and it's also been almost as long since there were ETA attacks, has now not just been punctured but possibly ended. And this may be the beginning of a new cycle of violence for Spain, because we do know that Spain in general, particularly Barcelona and Catalan country, is known for terror cells linked mostly to North Africa. Two of the men arrested, apparently in conjunction with the attack in Barcelona, are from North Africa, one from Morocco, another from a Spanish protectorate in North Africa. And that's a pattern we've been seeing for many years now. So people have been worried about these North African extremist links and Barcelona in particular.
Can we protect ourselves from this kind of attacks, and how?
Well, the short answer is yes, and that's, you know, the history of the recent history of Spain speaks to that. 13 years without jihadi attacks being successful, at least several significant attacks being thwarted. That has come about through intelligence, which involves not just intercepting signals, communication, phone calls, messaging, but also human intelligence, which often depends on working with communities when they've got concerns, sometimes about loved ones, sometimes about family members, speaking up when they see something. That's the most important line of defense. When it comes to vehicle attacks, we're now being reminded that we do have to look at things like bollards and other traffic calming measures to either stop vehicular access or at least slow it down, because it's kinetic energy which is the weapon here, and so it's mass times velocity. So delivery trucks moving through a mall at 10 kilometres an hour don't pose a great threat, but an open pedestrian space where a truck can accelerate to 60 or 80 kilometres an hour, as we saw in Nice and now we've seen in Barcelona, that's a vulnerability that we can protect to some extent by hardening those soft spaces. But that's not the cure, and that's really the last line of defence. The first line of defence is intelligence, which certainly involves working with community.
Are you confident that here in Australia we're well protected?
All the evidence suggests we are well protected. The Prime Minister gave a very clear press conference this morning, flanked by his security advisers and security heads, and repeated the message, which he is clearly at pains to say this is not a matter of mere rhetoric. He said that our best and first line of defence against jihadi terrorism are Muslim communities. They are, around the world, the number one victims of these terror networks, and they are a better position than anyone else to speak up when they see things of concern. And that has been working in Australia. We've had half a dozen attacks. They've been relatively low impact compared with other parts of the world. We've had 13 attacks that have been stopped. So you'd have to say that our situation, not perfect, there's no perfect security here, is better than it is in many places, and that we've got a lot to be grateful for. But there's no guarantees. We just need to understand that even though we can't guarantee there'll be no terror attack, it's one of the very much lesser problems we deal with. Things like domestic violence, family violence in general, youth suicide, etc. These are much bigger problems. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we should give up and say terrorism is overrated, because we don't know what would happen if we didn't put all the investment into trying to stop terror attacks, but it is working.
Professor Button, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. Thanks very much.